Hey, look, this your boy Opinionated MJ coming with an emergency pod. You know what I'm saying? Been trying to get one of these out pretty much since after the finals with all of this stuff going on in the NBA right now. We just going to call this one Moneyball. This the winner right here. I just want to say, you know, congratulations to the Thunder for getting Paul George. That's a real big move, but it's, to me, it's high risk, high reward, because if they could put the team together that could actually, you know, help Russell and Paul George actually get somewhere, then it's a good thing. They need shooters and they need a rim protector. I mean, they need at least three shooters, definitely one off the bench, somebody that's a primary scorer off the bench, unless they do something kind of like OKC. I mean, Golden State, where, you know, Golden State swaps out two, they bring in two of their stars, and they, like, you know, sit Paul George early or sit Russell early, bring one of them in or leave one of them in longer, then let them alternate and come back together at the end. And the high risk really is, I mean, you're putting Paul George with Russell Westbrook, and Paul George wants to go to the Lakers. I'm sure he still wants to go to the Lakers. I mean, he's going to probably get the OKC, like, okay, the ride there looks pretty much like Indiana. You know, I just rode through Indiana a few months ago, and it's pretty much all grass. It's pretty boring. You know, the downtown scene is what it is, but, you know, it's not really much to do there. I'm sure, coming from California, that he wants to go back. And then you put him with Russell Westbrook, who, you know, rumors were swirling for the longest time that Russell wanted to be a Laker. So you put them two together. If they don't get out the first round, Paul George is gone for sure. I think if he don't get to the Western Conference Finals, he's gone. Maybe he's just gone, period, even if he wins a championship. That might be the case. And then Russell, I mean, you know, he making all these commercials about don't forget where you come from and this, that, and the third, going at KD, but he might leave too. So I'm just throwing that out there. You know, I'm quite sure a lot of other people think it first, but, you know, I'm trying to voice it. I really think that that's potential. And then the Lakers can throw Russell at the two, throw PG at the three, bring Clarkson off the bench, maybe move Randle to the four and retain Brook Lopez, keep him at the five, and then finish creating that team. And hopefully Lonzo Ball shows that he could do something. You know, maybe he'll look real good like Ben Simmons did in the summer league last year before that injury. You know, throw a couple of flashy passes, get some oohs and ahs, and get some hype going behind him, and actually bring that quote-unquote leadership that Magic is looking to from him, you know, to the season, and actually perform very consistently, very well, rookie of the year level. He's going to have to do it in order to really lure in other free agents. You know, then, you know, I'm going to branch off from there. You're looking at the Banana Boat Crew, you know, CP3 to the Rockets. Let me throw that out there first. Banana Boat Crew. You got Chris Paul, you got LeBron James, you got Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony. They all, you know, are free agents next year. And if I'm New York, if I'm the Knicks, you just got rid of Phil Jackson. That's step one. James Dolan is what he is. You know, he let his pockets kind of go when he needs to. Maybe he's waiting on next year. They got Kristaps Porzingis already. I think everybody can go to New York. I mean, the East is looking real clear right now. Unless Boston actually secures Gordon Hayward or Miami. I mean, and even still then, it's still looking real clear for the Cavaliers. So what would be the difference in LeBron going to New York with Melo and Kristaps bringing Chris Paul and D-Wade over there? I mean, that basically makes them the team going to the finals, you know. And I guess I'm sure they would look to try to knock Golden State off. I don't know necessarily if that's what would happen, but maybe with Kristaps, if Golden State doesn't improve on their weakness, you know. And speaking of that, there's a lot of free agents out here. Let me see. Jimmy Butler just went to the West. He's on the Timberwolves. You know, they looking real strong now. They got a big three. Maybe like a – well, yeah, I call it a big three because I like Andrew Wiggins. I've liked him since he was a rookie. I honestly feel like Cleveland should have never traded him. I don't know why they did it. I think it's because LeBron didn't get Wiggins to sign with his agency. So I think he was like, oh, well, you know, you don't want to sign with my agency, so, you know, I'm going to trade you. Didn't include him in the letter or nothing. He already had the blueprint laid before he even came back to Cleveland. He did what he had to do as well, you know. Just like, you know, it's a few journalists out there that report that, you know, LeBron came back and he delivered on his promise. You know, that was a big storyline last year. You know, I promise. And, you know, he was striving for greatness and bringing one to Cleveland. And, you know, Cleveland, this is for you. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, the NBA is looking real exciting right now. The Bulls pretty much let go of everybody. I'm sure D-Wade is next. Rondo has been waived. I'm sure Danny Ainge is probably at home at least shedding one single tear, at least as far as this Paul George and Jimmy Butler. You know, they got away. All he had to do was just, you know, give up a few extra pieces or just go ahead and pull the trigger on something. But, I mean, there's only so much you're going to get with these picks, and you keep bringing them in unless it's a LeBron-type player about to come to the league. You might as well let them picks go. I mean, you got Isaiah Thomas. You got Avery Bradley. You got Al Horford. You got Jay Crowder, who I would have actually put up in a trade for a Jimmy Butler or a Paul George with a couple picks. You know, maybe somebody else. I'm not letting Marcus Smart go. I'm not letting Bradley go. Al Horford or Isaiah Thomas. They are untouchable. I really wouldn't want to get rid of Kelly either. But I'm hearing he might get released to free agency. Or, you know, he just might not get re-signed, and that'll make him unrestricted. I don't know. I'm really expecting a big year from the West. Let me touch on that CP3 trade. You know, I think that's a good trade because it's also high risk, high reward to me, because it gives Houston a chance to change their pace. It takes the ball out of James Harden's hands. I mean, everybody, when we was comparing him and Russell Westbrook, we was comparing the whole, you know, the MVP aspect of everything. You know, oh, okay, so how is this person MVP over this person? And, you know, I mean, they broke it down to turnovers and stuff like that. So if we're looking at the turnover aspect, Chris Paul is the best. I mean, I can't think of a better facilitator that's consistent and, you know, that gets everybody where they need to go. Gets them in their spots, and then he, from what I hear anyway, rumors, J.J. Redick is trying to follow him, so, you know, I think that'd be a good look. They lost Lou Williams in a deal, so that's going to hurt, because Lou Williams was like a spark off the bench. It was like a consistent barrage, but I already knew that they were going to get put off in the playoffs because they just, I don't know, they don't have enough of another style, so to speak, you know, because D'Antoni is basically run and gun. And if you're missing shots, then you're pretty much going to get put out. And then a lot of journalists are saying James Harden ran out of gas. So you bring Chris Paul into that picture. You put him at point guard. You allow him to have some rest. He doesn't have to have all the duties of bringing it up and down the floor all the time, initiating the offense, penetrating against the defense. You know, it takes some of the responsibilities. It could actually cut it in half or even more than that, depending on how much he's willing to relinquish the ball to Chris Paul. It's a good look, but just like OKC, they need some more pieces around them. I mean, maybe they don't, you know, maybe Clint Capella and a few of the others actually step up and become better. You know, they may get more touches. They may not. And it gives D'Antoni a defensive point guard to replace Patrick Beverley from that trade. And Chris Paul, is pretty good with stealing and controlling the pace and knowing when to push the pace, when to slow it down. And then he's got an explosive score, which is what the Clippers just desperately needed for the longest, you know, because they had Chris Paul and then two bigs. That was their, you know, go-to. And DeAndre Jordan can't even produce in the post on his own. So he's basically an offensive rebounding. You know, he'll put back, he'll get a few buckets on his own, but for the most part, you can't dump the ball to DeAndre Jordan and say, okay, do your best Shaquille O'Neal act. You know, the best part that he'll do about that is breaking at the free throw line. I don't know about how Indiana's going to look right now, because, I mean, what? They're getting Victor Oladipo, Sabonis. They got Monte Ellis. I mean, Miles Turner gets a chance to really try to step up. Now, the East is wide open. And let me just jump straight into this. Shout out to all the Sixers fans around the world. You know, I've been watching the Sixers for the last couple years. I haven't necessarily jumped on the bandwagon, but I'm on it now. You know, I did a lot of rooting for Golden State because I was rooting for Golden State when they lost to Cleveland up 3-1. And I love basketball so much. I was emotionally involved in that series. I don't remember the last time I was emotionally involved in a series. Maybe Kobe versus the Celtics when he lost. You know, it kind of hurt my feelings, actually. I was pretty pissed. A lot of people, you know, all the memes that followed after it, then just Cleveland doing what they was doing, including the Halloween party and, you know, LeBron with the Ultimate Warrior shirt. I mean, when you win, you get bragging rights. And I just wanted to be a part of the get back with Golden State. So I didn't really mind KD going over there because, in my opinion, I really believe that they needed Kevin Durant or they would have got swept by Cleveland. Yes, swept 4-0. You know, if they would have even made it that far. You know, San Antonio probably would have actually been the silent dark horse, you know, to knock Golden State off without a Kevin Durant. Because what I seen from Kawhi is just like, okay, well, you have 1, 2, 3, 4. That's not enough. You know, I could stop you all. With me being on the floor and with the people I have around me, they're good enough to shore up on defense and make sure, you know, their help defense is enough for me to just really be the anchor for real. It's like, I don't know. The last time we had a true, like, anchor in a small forward or a shooting guard style type of player. I mean, what, Scottie Pippen? I can't really think of another actual lockdown defender because if I put Kawhi Leonard, a decent Kawhi Leonard, in Paul George's place when Indiana could have won that game one over Miami when LeBron just blew past them, I mean, does he get past Kawhi? Okay, is that whole series different because of Kawhi is there? But that's, you know, that's just far-fetched. I think that Cleveland losing Griffin as their GM, it's a big deal. Then I seen Dan Gilbert going to hang out with Donald Trump. I don't know what he's doing over there, but he's definitely not doing nothing that's pleasing LeBron. I mean, LeBron is very vocal. He's very calculated. He hasn't said a word. You know, even in support of Dan Gilbert with, you know, the latest moves. If anything, he's voiced that, you know, if did nobody care about David Griffin, then he did, you know. And I'm sure some of the other Cavaliers players did too, but he know who probably makes things go in that front office. I mean, of course, it's not Dan Gilbert. He wrote the letter. You know what I'm saying? What players are you really going to lure over there without certain people over there, you know? And, I mean, it took a lot just to get LeBron to, I guess, convince himself. Maybe it didn't take a lot. He was thinking about Cleveland firsthand. But, I mean, you know, who went upstairs and made the trade for Amon Shumpert and J.R. Smith and Timofey Mozgov? I mean, that was a fleecing. You know, I actually feel like if they would have kept Mozgov and Dellavedova, they probably would have, if not won the series, they'd have definitely made it a 6-game, maybe even another 7-game series because there's more people to harass Golden State, especially Steph, Clay. Maybe keep Clay off his rock a little bit, you know, because he ended up getting his feel and his rhythm. But, I mean, to me, Cleveland is still the top of the class in the East. The West is just crazy stacked now. I mean, what? You got Golden State. You got San Antonio. You got Houston. You got OKC. I'm expecting them to be the top four teams. You got the Timberwolves, who could crack that top four. Potentially, it just depends on, you know, what the rest of these teams do to try to stop what's going on. It depends on where Gordon Hayward goes, even though I think he's gone. If I'm him, I go ahead and go East because the West the West is real, real wild now. I mean, and I don't want to sleep on DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis over there with the Pelicans. They only need a few pieces and they can make their whole team work. I seen, you know, I was watching them towards the end of the season and they was doing a lot of big things and actually, you know, keeping that thing kind of consistent going towards the end of the season. I know DeMarcus Cousins missed a few games and I think Anthony Davis missed a game or two, but watching the way that their team kind of, like pretty much what I was saying about Russell and Paul George, let one of them stay in with whoever's on the court. Let the other one come in, you know, like maybe enter in the second quarter or something like that, and then bring them back together full circle. And, you know, that's that proves to be effective just watching Golden State, except they have four players that they could do it with, you know, whether it's Draymond and Klay and then Steph with KD or Steph with Dre and, you know, KD with Klay. I mean, you could run any combination. If I'm them, I do what I got to do to keep Iguodala. I mean, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's actually something for real going on in the locker room. There's been a lot of rumblings about stuff like that. I think they need to figure that out. Keep that team intact because, I mean, they look to be the top of the class if they remain intact for the next, what, at least for the next year through 3-4 years. You know, a lot of people say 5, a lot of people say 7, but, I mean, things happen, injuries happen. I mean, but as long as you got those guys under contract, you can sign Iguodala to a 3-year deal, you know. I mean, give him the money that he's asking for. I personally think KD and Steph need to take a pay cut. I've been saying this for a long time. I've been preaching this with some of my partners, Sean Legend, Crispy Chris, Neil Classic, you know, my boy Ryan, boy Red. You know, we talk a lot of basketball, and I've always said if I was in the NBA, and, you know, it's probably easy for me to say it. I'm not making millions of dollars. I'm not living that lifestyle, but, I mean, I love basketball just as much as they do. I'm just not playing. You know, I'm behind this microphone. And I would take a pay cut if I'm trying to win a ring, even if, you know, it's for a year or two. I mean, a lot of injuries are able to be recovered way better than they were in the 90s and the 80s. And, you know, the further you go back, you know, the worse it was. You know, your career's just over. But nowadays, you got guys coming back from Achilles injuries, ACLs, MCLs. It's not necessarily that you're out. It's just how long it's going to take you to get back to where you were or at least be 80%. And I think a lot of players can do that. I mean, Rudy Gay right now is coming from an Achilles. And it's still teams that have interest in acquiring him. You know, Wesley Matthews ended up with a deal that he ended up with. You know, and I didn't see too much of him, but when I did, he was doing all right, you know. Maybe not worth his contract, but, I mean, if you're going off what he did prior to the injury, then, yeah, he's worth his contract. And, I mean, let me see, what's some other West teams? We got Portland out there. That makes 6. I think Utah, if Gordon leaves, is going to fall. So, I think the Pelicans will come in. That's 7th. Or at least 7 teams. And, I don't know what the Clippers are going to do. They got Patrick Beverley. I don't want to count them out yet because they still got Blake and DeAndre. I mean, if I'm Doc Rivers, I just go get Rondo. And if J.J. Redick is leaving, you know, if I'm him, I go to Philly. I mean, the East is wide open. But if J.J. Redick somehow, they could get him to stay, you know, you try to find another dynamic player out there or a decent player, maybe even Rudy Gay. I can't really think of who else they can add, but they need another point guard other than Patrick Beverley because, in my opinion, he's not a facilitator. And you bring that defense in. If you could get Rondo, they could run a decent trap. You know, I've never been thinking that Rondo was washed up, you know, during his little journeyman run with the Kings and, you know, the Bulls and, you know, just him jumping teams. You know, I always was high on Rondo because – he pretty much made Boston what they were when they came together. If it wasn't for Rondo, wouldn't have been no championship because it put them in their order, basically, as opposed to, oh, KG got the ball. Okay, KG ISO. Okay, Ray Allen got the ball. Ray Allen ISO. Okay, Paul Pierce got the ball. Okay, Paul Pierce ISO. It gave them some order. You know, it put KG at the top of the key to shoot. You know, it put Ray Allen in his positions in the corners or wherever, you know, slashing. And it gave Paul Pierce the opportunity to, after the offense has ran and a lot of the defense been broke down, you know, to score, get to the basket, doing his little lazy drop steps. And it was effective. So, I mean, in my opinion, if Rondo would have never got hurt with Chicago, and who knows if he was really hurt, maybe he was trying to prove a point. If he never went down, I honestly feel like the Bulls would have potentially swept the Celtics. I mean, I don't think they knew what to do with Rondo at all. And he wasn't even playing to his fullest, I mean, to his best. I mean, he was facilitating. He was calling stuff, you know, as far as knowing what, how to defend a lot of things. And his IQ is something that, I don't know, a lot of point guards don't have that, especially to be able to facilitate and get easy buckets for himself. I really think that'd be a good pickup for whoever gets him. I don't really see him fitting anywhere but the Clippers or the Knicks anyway. I think they could really use him in New York too. Sadly, my Pistons haven't done a thing but draft. So I'm going to just leave them at that. You know, shout out to Detroit. Detroit basketball. Rest in peace, Mike Ilitch. And, yeah, I just think the NBA on the East is, I don't know, maybe Philly could get in there now. I'm really high on Philly. I don't know, you know, how many people would agree with that, but I'm high on Philly. Because how are you going to scout some people that you've never actually played? Joel Embiid alone was winning games, alone, by himself. So you bring Ben Simmons back into that fold. Really, he was never there to begin with, to even start the season. And then you put Markelle Fultz with it, and I'm high on Fultz as well because I see his Euro step move, and it reminds me of James Harden all day. If I'm him, I call James Harden like, how do you lean back and get them fouls? What type of, you know, when do you do it? When do you, how do you initiate that contact? How can I initiate that contact as a rookie and get those calls? You know, and if he could get those calls, get them to the free throw line, Joel Embiid stretches the floor. You got Ben Simmons out there facilitating. He could rebound. He could push the pace. Dario Saric, he does his thing. Covington does his thing. I seen, I think they got rid of Gerald Henderson. I think they waived him. I don't know if I would have did that because I think he was productive this year. And it's another player I think they had held out. Furkan, if I'm not mistaken. And I think he's 19 years old. He's a shooter. You know, they could potentially add him. Like I said earlier, J.J. Redick. I mean, it's wide open for Philly, too, because none of these teams are finished products, of course. I mean, it's still June. It's June 30th. We're on the eve of the free agency. You know, we about 30 minutes away, you know, just to kind of date this podcast a little bit. I think that I think really nobody can top Cleveland in the East. The West is Golden State, San Antonio, and then you know, Houston, OKC, and then, you know, maybe I'll throw Memphis in it for that eighth spot. I don't know. It depends on where Zach Randolph lands as well. I think he did pretty good off the bench. And then you got people like Vince Carter saying they'll go to OKC, take a cut to, you know, try to win the championship. They already got, you know, David West and a few others. They need to retain Sean Livingston for sure. I think they need to retain Iguodala. Without Iguodala, that whole glue, the death lineup is dead. The glue is gone. I mean, that defense, you know, his ability to step up when KD went down, it's gonna be huge. You know, I mean, wherever he goes, they get better, period. On defense, sneaky offense, because when you don't think he's going to make shots, he makes shots. You know, and the way he was getting to the hole with Golden State, I don't even know why he's considering leaving. Maybe he wants to be courted. You know, but if I had to say it's a West dark horse right now anyway, as far as where we stand today, it's got to be the Timberwolves because they got Jimmy Butler now. They traded Ricky Rubio. Jeff Teague is coming in. I'm not really high on Jeff Teague, but he is coming in. You know, although I think he probably would have been better off with New York and in the East. You know, because in the West, you got to deal with Lillard, Russell, Chris Paul, Harden. You know, it's just too much to deal with. It's a lot over there. Drew Holiday, you could throw him in there. I just think it's too much for him to deal with. I don't know if he can even deal with the likes of a Tony Allen or a Patrick Beverly if they remain out West. Well, Patrick would be out West, but I think Tony Allen is a free agent. If he stays out West, you know, that's another person that could guard him. Because I wrote a few articles about the Eastern Conference, and I call them the Eastern Conference folders for a reason, and I include their players. You know, it's also rumors that Kyle Lowry was supposed to go to the Timberwolves. I don't know how much true that is now, you know, considering Jeff Teague is going. You know, maybe Kyle Lowry goes to the Knicks now, but if I'm him, I just go back to the Raptors. I mean, I'm not real high on Kyle Lowry at all, because when it's time for you to step up, you got to step up. I mean, period. You can't be, oh, you know, I had a bad game. Nah, you got to get a better mentality. You got to have better preparation. You got to be locked in. You trying to win? You trying to beat LeBron James? You got to be locked in. And you got to pray. I mean, it's just nothing, you know, else you can do other than those things. I don't know if Toronto had enough time with Serge Ibaka. I think he's, if I'm not mistaken, he's on the move. He's a free agent. I mean, Boston, in my opinion, if they got Bogut, that was a finals run. A healthy Bogut was a finals run to me. So maybe if Serge Ibaka goes to Boston, maybe that's a, you know, a challenge to Cleveland. I don't see Cleveland doing anything other than potentially signing, you know, some more veterans for, you know, a quick championship run in hopes that they could beat Golden State. They need a significant piece to kind of keep up, maybe even two pieces, because they should have actually added to their team over the course of last season, this past season, but they didn't. They lost Dellavedova and Mozgov, and they didn't really recover from that, because Tristan Thompson was their big, and then who? I mean, Kevin Love, he could grab rebounds. He could post up, but he's not a real big man. And then it was rumors about them getting DeMarcus Cousins. Cousins not going nowhere. If I'm in New Orleans, I'm not breaking up no Twin Towers. I'm just not doing it. How rare? You know, the last time we seen that was what, like 99, 2000 with David Robinson and Tim Duncan? And both of these guys are 2010 guys? I mean, why would you trade that? Especially when a lot of teams now, their weakness is the paint, because they don't have big men, especially talented big men that can stretch the floor, both of them. No, you don't trade that. You know, shout out to my cousin Ralph, his cousin Jordan Crawford, you know, on the Pelicans. I hope y'all do good this year. Man, free agency is about to begin in about 30 minutes. So we just gonna see where this goes. This is Moneyball, Opinionated MJ. Shout out to Sean Legend. Shout out to Crispy Chris, Neil Classic, the whole team. You know, follow me on Twitter, Opinionated_MJ. On Facebook, follow the page. It's Opinionated Basketball Minds, OpinionatedBasketballMinds.com. We on Instagram, too. I want to say Opinionated MJ as well. It might be Opinionated Basketball Minds with underscores in between each word. You know, and that's about it. That's all I got right now. So let's continue to watch this NBA unfold. I'm sure we're going to see another couple of trades in the next few days before these contracts get signed or thereafter. And I'm sure there's going to be a few players on the move. Be on the lookout for where Paul Millsap goes to, because if he goes somewhere to one of the top four West powerhouses, maybe even the Timberwolves, yeah, we might be in for something. But I'm going to leave y'all with that. All right.